Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to come before you, to worship you, to love you. We thank you, Father, that you have put your breath in our lungs. And we praise you and we worship you today. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy. Amen. Thank you. Give the band a hand, please. They work hard. I know, because I'm a part of it. So for those of you who do not know, I am not Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim does not look like this. This is what a Swedish giant looks like. My name is Anders, for those of you who don't know me. And I've been attending the church here for 10-some years, I think. My dad was the former senior pastor here. So when he started pastoring, we came over from Lakemount Church in Grimsby to support. And when he retired, we stayed. Because it's awesome here. There's no need to go anywhere else. Amen. I'm married and I have three little children. A girl and two boys. And the middle boy drives me crazy. Absolutely insane. And it's very good. See, I believe that God has done this intentionally. He made children very difficult because us, as adults, we would never grow up. We would be children forever. And he wants us to mature and grow up. So it's a little bit tough. And it works on your character, at least in my household. Maybe all your, probably, right? Like less, your children were perfect. They never caused you any trouble. You slept through every night from the first one. No? No? Now that they are grown up, do they still kind of keep you on your knees? Yeah. That's how it is in my household. And my children aren't even grown up yet. And I'm thinking, oh God, I need your mercy. So, I'm happy for the opportunity to speak here today. I haven't spoken for a long time. A really long time, actually. But I preach to myself, you see. I drive in my truck at work and I'm like, and Jesus said. And I'm like encouraging myself in the car. Because, you know, that's what we do, right? Or sometimes in the shower, you know. That's a great place. If you don't know how to sing, I mean, you just give it. And your neighbors hear it. But it's fine because it's kind of drowned down by the water. And so it's fine. It's totally okay, right? So, for those of you who haven't been around for a long time, just give me a little bit of my background, just so you kind of know where I'm coming from. So, obviously, my dad has been a pastor, my personal pastor, for most of my life. So, I grew up in the church, used to play hide and seek in the church and all that good stuff. I remember in the first church I remember, which was when I was really young, they used to have all these couches in the basement, and I would build forts out of the cushions, because back in those days, it wasn't like one solid piece. They were individual cushions, you know? So I've always been in church. I don't really know what it's like not to go to church. And if I don't come on a Sunday, which happens, it feels off to me, just because it's what I'm used to. But even though I'm a son of a minister and grew up in the church, I still had to come to Jesus on my own. And I've been a total mess this morning. While I was preparing this morning, I read a scripture and it just messed me right up. I was bawling like a little baby. And so each of us have to come to Jesus on our own. We can't rely on our parents' faith or the journey that they have walked or even the breakthroughs that they have seen in their own lives. We have to gain those breakthroughs for our own, because in the heavenly kingdom, there are no grandchildren. We are all first tier child to our heavenly Father. Now, it's good to have parents who prays for you. That's wonderful. If you have parents that prays for you, I mean, that's something to be grateful for. I'm certainly very grateful for my parents praying. And my mom's still praying for me. I mean, I feel like I was the black sheep of the family, right? Like, I had to be the boy. I was the only boy. I had two sisters. So, you know, I had to find my own way, you know. And so my mom has prayed for me a lot. But back in 1899, I went to a revival meeting with an evangelist named Reinhard Bonnke. And he's a world-famous evangelist from Germany. And I remember sitting there in the front row with my dad like I do so often. But when he called people to give their life to Jesus, I just felt something very deeply on the inside that I had to respond. I was young, so I didn't really know what was going on, because, to be honest, I had never paid attention when my dad was speaking. I mean, I was just playing, talking to the girls in the balcony, right? Like, I mean, that's what a pastor's child does, right? He doesn't know any different. But I was convicted, and my dad prayed for me that very moment. And I prayed with him, and I cried, and then that was that. And I was a young kid, right? I didn't really understand. But when I walked out of that church, which I had been in so many times, the stairs, they looked different. The sky looked different. The grass looked different. And still, I was a young boy, and I had a very hilly road. It was very much up and down until I finally, met the Lord on a much, much deeper level. But even through all that time, from when I was a little child until I met Jesus one-on-one, if you call it that, I could see his hand of protection over my life, how he had guided me all along. And God has been really good to me, and allowed me to be a part of different revivals. We had a revival in our old church at our youth group, where we used to come from school or from work or whatever, and we would have weeks of prayer. And it was just us young kids. We were youth. But the presence of God was so heavy that we didn't want to leave. We didn't want to do anything else. I would come from the construction site covered in all kinds of stuff. I didn't care. I came straight to the prayer meeting because I wanted to fellowship with God. Sure, we all like to enjoy the pleasures of life and have fun. But when you fall in love with Jesus, there's no other place you'd rather be. And we had this time, I remember very clearly. We were at a family's house. They were called the Borfines, and they basically made up half the youth group, because they were a Dutch family, you see, and Dutch families have a lot of children. So we were at their house, because they had a big house, and the youth group was gathered there, and we split it up, and the girls went into one room, and the boys went into one room, and we just started to pray. And I don't remember exactly when or who was leading the meeting or why we were even there. It was just kind of the thing we were doing. We were having life together. We were hanging out. We were eating. And we were praying and having fun. And so we were praying. And all of a sudden, someone read the scripture verse that God has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. And it just became a clear revelation to us that no matter how far you go to the right or to the east, or how far you go to the west and pursue that, the east will never meet the west. Once God has removed your sins, you can't find them again, even if you were to pursue them, so to speak, right? And it just became a revelation to us, and we started to dance. And we were dancing and singing and shouting. I mean, we were young kids, and it was late. I bet that the parents that night did not get to sleep. For a different reason, though, than the times when they're on their knees worrying about their children. And we were dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing, and the presence of God was so heavy. I remember at one point thinking to myself, I gotta stop dancing. I can't keep dancing for this long. I mean, I'm gonna collapse. I thought to myself, but I had so much strength and so much energy, and I just kept on dancing and kept on dancing. And it came to the point where I felt like if I even stop dancing now, I have to choose to go against the Holy Spirit. To stop dancing because the presence of God was so thick and so heavy. And so I'm sharing this story with you today as a teaser, you know, as a movie trailer, right? You get to see all the best clips. For some of those of you here who may not have been in that type of an environment, I want it to be a sweet little taste that there's so much more to the Christian life. There's so much more than just waking up in the morning and going to work and coming home at night and cooking food and then doing the dishes and then cleaning up. And then your children, if you have young children, they take their food and they throw it on the floor so that you get to clean more. That's what my children does, at least my 1.5-year-old. There's so much more to life than just showing up on Sundays for 1.5 hours to do your deed, to kind of put in your dues. God has set up a way for us to fellowship with Him one-on-one, to commune with Him, to have a deep relationship with Him that can go beyond any other human interaction. But we have to want it. It's available to us if we want it. And you may notice that me speaking here today doesn't look like Tim, and it doesn't sound like Tim. Because Tim is a teacher, and he's an excellent teacher. And he knows how to, yeah, so is my dad, you know. Take the Greek words and lay it out all nicely. I have to ask my dad to get a Greek word. I married a Greek, but I don't understand any of it. I'm more of an evangelist at heart, so I just share stories. That's what I do. I share stories, and hopefully that story will encourage you to draw near or go deeper yourself. And I know that it can feel like the whole world is on your shoulders. Like it's an impossible barrier to break through. I mean, I felt like that over the summer myself. But the times are changing. And we, as the people of God, need to draw near. Scripture says that we should seek Him while He can be found. Now, that's Old Testament, and once Jesus has come to the cross, He's always available. We can always come to Him. But of course, it will come a time for all of us when we will stand before Him. And then it'll be too late. There will be nothing more that you can add. There's nothing you can do to change what is will be at that time. So we need to take the opportunity that we have while we still have breath in our lungs. And I know, I mean, I don't feel like it. Work is hard and it's many hours. I'm self-employed. So I mean, I'm working all the time, literally. And you don't feel like it. I mean, and you're tired. I'm tired. I'm tired right now. I'm tired all the time. I just came from vacation. I'm tired. Right? There's this pressure and stress in life. burdens you, weighs you down all the time, every day. And then you got to go home. You got to play with your kids. You got to do homework. You got to clean up the house. Got to cut the lawn. Got to paint the roof. That's what I did. I needed to get rid of some paint that was at the shop. So I painted my roof. It's got 5 different colors. That wasn't a good idea. Well, at least the front side facing the road has one color, you know. My wife's kind of like, are you going to finish? Or I'm like, right? Life is busy. When are we going to read the word? I mean, I don't have time to read the Bible. When am I going to get 2 hours to myself to sit down, read the word, pray, stir my spirit up? And then, when am I going to have time to share Jesus with my neighbors? Well, the only way that we will be able to do any of those things is if it's lifestyle, not an event. Okay, I'm doing my time now. I'm going to read the Bible. Oh, I'm going to pray. It has to be a lifestyle where we're living with the Holy Spirit every day. That's why I preach to myself in the truck. It's beautiful. Nobody hears. I mean, probably the people driving down the road is like, that guy is crazy. What's going on in that truck, right? Because I'm like, you know, and then I'm like, hi. And I play the worship music really loud. So I make sure I have a subwoofer in my truck so that I can really bang, 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 so I can hear it nicely. All right. So my message today is supposed to be about loving the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Here's the scripture verse that I read this morning that kind of made me really messed up. And what I mean with messed up is crying and weeping like a little baby. Revelations 2, verses 2 to 7. So John, to give a little bit of a backstory. So John the apostle, who walked with Jesus, who was the disciple that he said that Jesus loved. Back in those days, persecution was fierce, and they killed basically all of the disciples. And they tried to kill John too, but they weren't able to kill him, and they couldn't shut him up, because he just would continue to tell people about Jesus. So eventually they made the decision, we can't kill him, we can't get him to be quiet, let's banish him to an island some far way off. I don't even know where Patmos is, but I'm assuming it's in the Meridian, or not Meridian, what's it called? Mediterranean, yeah, Meridian is a bank, for those of you who don't know. Mediterranean Sea, hello? You guys ever seen Back to the Future? You know, Mr. McFly, anybody home? Yeah. All right. So anyways, so there John is living out his days. He's an old man at this point. Now, this particular portion of Revelations was a letter written to the church at Ephesus. Now, that church was a church that Paul the Apostle had started. And I don't know too much about church history, but they say that they had 120,000 members. So I would say that that is a pretty happening church, right? It's a pretty decent congregation if you got 120,000. And back in those days, they didn't have cell phones, internet, satellite campuses, right? Broadcasting on the big screen, right? So I don't even know how they ministered to 120,000 in those days. I don't even think they had bicycles. Did they have bicycles? No. They didn't have bicycles. They had legs. Yeah, they got to walk. That would be good for me. I would have a little bit less of a paunch. Hopefully the Lord doesn't take me back to that time. Whew, I need my truck. You know? I need a V8 to get me where I need to go. All right. So some time has passed since the church was founded. Obviously, if a church grows to 120,000 members, it's a church that is passionate for Jesus. passionate for the cause of Christ, dedicated to the cause of Christ. I bet they had a lot of volunteers. I bet they had a lot of volunteers, right? So these are people that love Jesus, love God, and will serve him wholeheartedly. And this is what John hears in his vision with the Lord. I know your deeds, speaking about the church of Ephesus. I know your deeds, your labor, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate those who are evil, and that you have tested and exposed as liars those who falsely claim to be apostles. Without growing weary, you have persevered and endured many things for my name's sake. I've been a Christian all my life. I haven't had to endure that many things because there's no persecution where I live. Nobody's tried to put me in a boiling vat of oil. No one has tried to crucify me or shoot me or cut my head off. But back in those days, that was normal. If you were a disciple of Jesus, a believer, a follower of Christ, that was par for the course. You needed to expect that you probably were not going to get to live all your days. But then Jesus says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. And that's what really messed me up. Because I've tried to be faithful to the church and to God my entire life. I have not done a super great job, if I was going to be honest. But I remember what I was like when I truly first came to Jesus. And I'm not talking as a little boy in that meeting, though that was a very emotional time and intense all on its own. No, I moved to Canada when I was 16, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, actually the year before, and started to attend Bible school. And kind of did it half-heartedly. I did it actually because we came to Canada as visitors. So I wasn't allowed to work. And I couldn't go to regular school because we were renting and not owning a house. And I guess the property taxes is what pays for public school. So my parents put me in Bible college. And so, you know, my heart wasn't fully in it. But then, after I had graduated, I had said to my dad when he asked me if I would come with him to a missions trip to India. And because I had said yes, I couldn't go back on my word. And he had bought the ticket. So here I was going. But back in those days, even though I had graduated Bible school, I was completely backslidden. I was looking for every opportunity to drink. I was sleeping with my girlfriend. I was living a complete life of chaos and sin. But I had said, yes, I'm going to go. So I guess I'm going to go. So here I am, a pastor's son who has graduated Bible school with a ministerial diploma, living in sin with my girlfriend, and going on a missions trip. And I'm supposed to be a part of the speaking team? I mean, it was a gong show. Anyways, so I was young still. I was like 18 going on 19. And there wasn't much for me to do in the beginning portion of the trip. So I had promised my dad that I would read the Bible. And he had given me, or I had gotten a book that was like, read the Bible in a year kind of a thing. So I had fallen so behind because I was so backslidden. I didn't take time to read the Bible. Obviously, if you're living in sin, you're not really going to try to pursue the Lord. And so I was like trying to catch up so I would, you know, only have to do 3 chapters a day, right? Doing my duty. I'm sure some of you can relate what that's like, right? You're just doing something because you're supposed to. And I read the Bible, and it was really just doing my duty, right? Trying to be a good son, put it forth an appearance of whatever to my dad. And somewhere along the line, I don't remember, the word started to speak to me. And at that point, I was reading the Bible for hours. I didn't speak Hindi. I didn't have a translator. I had no specific tasks to do because I was kind of just tracking along. And I was just reading the Bible. And towards the end of it, I was reading the Bible for 8 hours a day. And at that point, I wasn't doing it out of duty. No, I remember it was October 27th. My birthday is on October 28th. And we were in a village in a city called Jiudagiri, or something like that. I'm obviously pronouncing it incorrectly. And I was the only one awake. The whole team was asleep. And I had been reading the Bible forever. I was just reading and reading and reading and reading. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there at the table, and it was 2:30 in the morning. And I just knew that Jesus was standing next to me. Now, I couldn't see him. I looked, and I said, "Hi, Jesus." But I couldn't see him, but I knew that he was there. From that moment, everything changed. Because once you have met Jesus for yourself, then you don't come to church because you have to. You don't read the Bible because you have to. You don't say your little prayer because you have to. You start fellowshipping with the Lord. And he starts leading you down a journey that's one-on-one. And there is nothing more precious than that. Nothing more precious than being able to fellowship with Jesus. Sense his pleasure over you. And it was like when I was reading the word, didn't matter if I was reading in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, because as you know, most of the Bible plans, they're kind of making you jump around a little bit, right? And there's different themes for those reading help read the Bible in a year studies. And every word I would read, it was like hitting me like a hammer in my heart. And I would cry before the Lord, yearning to go deeper with him. And I would read and I would read and I would read. And I remember some time passing after we came back home. And first thing I did when I came home was break up with my girlfriend, obviously. Because I was determined to live for Jesus. And our youth group went, which is what I mentioned earlier, our youth group went into a season of revival. And it was sweet. It was the best of times. And some time passed. Because, you know, you get busy. Life carries on. You start growing up. Maybe you don't have as much time available to read the Bible and pray as you used to. And I remember walking down Vine Street in St. Catharines by Grantham Plaza. And I remember being struck by this awful thought that I hadn't been concerned for the condition of the souls of those who were around me as I was walking around the whole day. I hadn't thought about sinners going to hell for 1 minute. And I was terrified that I could allow my heart to get so hard that I wouldn't be burdened with those who don't know. See, that's what happens when you're with Jesus. You start thinking and feeling for the things that he cares about. Make money. Build a big house. Do it. But do it with Jesus. Buy a truck or a car. I got to drive a Mustang 5-liter when I was on vacation, thanks to my wife. Because she was like, the rental company made a mistake. And she was like, "I'm not going to let this slide. They need to do something for us." And she's Greek. So, man, don't get on her wrong side. And so she's like, "So what are you going to do? We're disappointed." And I'm like, "Calm down." You know? So they're like, "How about we upgrade you to..." I had, you know, rented a cheap car. They're like, "Well, we have a... black Mustang 5-liter. Would you like to drive that? I'm like, yep, I would like to do that. I'm telling you. Well, thank you that the police wasn't near where I was, because it is a very fast car. And taking the on-ramp at 80 miles an hour when it's curving and you're just like hugging that seat. Oh, it's a good feeling. But it was stick shift, right? And so I grew up in Sweden, so I learned how to drive on stick shift. But my wife drove the car smoother than me. It was unbelievable. I'm like, how do you drive it so smooth? I felt it was unfair. I'm the big man. I should drive the car nicely. So yeah, this conversation is not about enjoying the pleasures of life. But the conversation is about, where is our heart at? And for me, who's like 41 years into sitting in a church bench or under the bench or on the bench laying down sleeping, which I would have done in my younger years. For me, I don't want to come here one more day if I'm not going to experience the presence of God. I am not interested. I can sit at home on my phone and tap in with to some of the best preachers in the world, hearing some of the best worship in the world. I'm done. I'm not showing up one more day. I don't want to come. Who cares? I want to meet with Jesus. I want to fall back in love with Him, like I was when I first received Him, when I first met Him, where every moment, every day, I was passionate in my heart, yearning for more of Him in my life. And if you've never experienced that, this might seem like a strange conversation to have. But I'm telling you, He is wonderful. He is the most beautiful person in this universe. God, the uncreated one, becoming flesh so that we can have fellowship with Him. Him taking on, I mean, I can't even imagine this. I ponder this sometime and I just cry out to the Lord. He is God. He is spirit. He is everywhere at once. He is eternal. He is uncreated. And He chooses to take on human flesh. Why? For all eternity, constricted to a body. Why? Why would you do that? Because He loved us. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. For He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. Before we had the chance to sin, before Adam and Eve had the chance to sin in the garden, before He had said, "Light be," He decided to die on the cross before He spoke the first word or moved or created the first stone. Because He wanted us with Him. What an opportunity. What an opportunity to have fellowship with the eternal God. That I bet there are billions of people in the world filling themselves with everything they can think of. But what they really wish is that they would have the opportunity to be right with God. And here we are with the full word. I mean, this is just one of many that I have in my house. One of many. Gift from my dad. Every good Bible I own is a gift from my dad. The ones I get for myself is a free app on the phone. Right? You can read literally every translation there is on your phone. What an opportunity. Let us not squander it. And I am so broken down, trashed, messed up, disaster over that scripture I read this morning that I didn't even plan to share with you today. I don't even know how I ended up there, to be honest. And I must have come across a thought that, because I've struggled with this for a while, have I fallen away from my first love? Am I really as passionate about Jesus as I used to be? And when I read it, I just started to cry because I realized so clearly that I need God's mercy. I need God's mercy to get right with Him. I can say the words, Jesus, forgive me. But if my heart isn't moved, it's just words. I need His mercy for my heart, my hardened heart. The heart that is so preoccupied with the things of this world. In the next 80 years, if I get to live that long, I would like to live 104. So I'm 41, so I need 83. I just think that's a good age. I'm so preoccupied. I take so little time for Jesus. So little time. And I would probably consider myself to be a decent Christian, pretty committed. You know, slightly hungry for the Lord. But not like when you haven't eaten for 40 days. Not that hungry, right? I mean, I don't know you guys' background. I don't know what you've been taught as a child and growing up. I don't know how long you've been here. I don't know everything you've been taught, what you believe, how often you read the Bible, how often you pray. But I just want to say, there is more. There is more to have than what we're seeing. When Jesus died and rose from the grave, He gave a commandment to the disciples, to go out and preach the gospel to the whole world, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. And even though it's not about the acts and the fancy stuff, if you call it that, I want to see that in my own life. If that was the first commandment that God, that Jesus gave to us after He woke or rose from the dead, I want to have that every day in my life. I don't want to be a casual Christian that just comes to church and plays on the band. And I do that wholeheartedly because I love it. I do it for the Lord because I'm busy enough. It'd be better for me to stay at the office and work a little bit more than to come and practice and all of that. But we do it for the Lord. We do it because we want to. We do it because we want to serve this church. But I want Jesus to be here. I want Jesus to be welcome here, to be welcome in our hearts, to be welcome in our midst. So Holy Spirit, we welcome You right now. We welcome You, Holy Spirit, and You see where each and every one of us are at. Lord, we want to go deeper with You, just a little deeper, know You a little more. Know You a little better. Hear Your voice a little more. Sense Your touch of Your Spirit a little more. We want more of You, Jesus. And we ask that You would come and that You would break up the fallow ground in our hearts. Break it up. Break it up. Lord, we ask that You would send revival to our midst that we might become that which You have called us to be. Wholehearted, fully engaged, fully in love with You, Jesus. We ask You to come. We ask You to come. If you're here and you sense that this message speaks to you and you want to go deeper and you want someone to pray with you, if we can ask the prayer team to come forward, and if you could turn on some soft music in the back there. If you want someone to pray with you, then I encourage you to come forward. If you just want to take some time before the Lord by yourself, then do that. I ask that you would all stand up. If you need to leave, you're free to go. Take this to heart when you go, though, that God has more for us. He is yearning for us to draw near. Turn up the music a little bit more, please. If everyone can just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, we long for more of you. Touch our hearts. Draw us near. From this day forward, we ask. Amen. Feel free to come up if you want prayer. Otherwise, you're dismissed. You might be a mess too. That's what I am. Blessings. We love you. Feel free to linger in the atmosphere here before the Lord. If you want to take a few moments, don't feel rushed. And if God is speaking to you, then take that time to linger. Amen.